Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. On this podcast, you'll find the latest reports from our GPB News team. Send us feedback or story ideas to georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. Today is Monday, March 10th. Here's what's coming up on today's episode. A new bill passed by the Georgia Senate targets a Savannah ordinance meant to curb gun theft. Those convicted of trafficking fentanyl could soon receive mandatory minimum prison sentences. And a new bill seeks to support caregivers of seniors suffering from cognitive decline.
Maybe she gets in the car and she goes to the Walmart where she always goes. And maybe if people are approaching her, she's getting agitated. And so someone calls the police.
These stories and more coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. A Savannah gun control ordinance is the target of a new bill passed by the Georgia Senate. GPB's Benjamin Payne reports.
SB 163 passed along party lines shortly before the crossover day deadline last week, with Republicans in support and Democrats opposed. The bill takes aim at a local law in Savannah enacted last year and meant to prevent gun thefts. That ordinance allows the city to fine gun owners up to $1,000 if they leave a firearm unattended in an unlocked vehicle. The new Senate bill would allow people facing those fines to in turn sue the city for up to $50,000. It was introduced by Republican State Senator Colton Moore of Northwest Georgia's Dade County.
When citizens in Northwest Georgia go to a place like Savannah, and there is a mayor there who has put in ordinances that violate their Second Amendment rights, my piece of legislation simply says that those citizens have a right of tort to sue those governments for violating those rights.
Democratic State Senator Derek Mallow of Savannah spoke out against the bill, saying it would take away a valuable tool police now have at their disposal to help prevent crime, especially in the city's popular downtown.
We keep our tourists safe. We have robust law enforcement agencies, and they said, City Council, help us to curb the amount of unlocked firearms that are being stolen out of vehicles.
SB 163 now heads to the Georgia House. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne in Savannah.
Two vaccine-related bills with bipartisan support will not be advancing in this year's General Assembly. House Bill 218 aimed to lower the age of patients offered a flu vaccine upon discharge from a hospital from age 50 to age 18. And House Bill 173 would have made sure patients starting in middle school were given information at school about vaccines that protect against HPV, meningitis, tetanus, and other diseases. But neither of these bills made it past crossover day. That was the day last week on Thursday when all bills either had to pass in the House or the Senate to stay alive for the year. Here's the bill's sponsor, Representative Darlene Taylor, speaking last month.
And it's important, and I feel like it is, as a parent, when I wanted as much information that I can have to make a good decision, and I feel like the best way to help parents is to let them have the information.
Meanwhile, Georgia's vaccine rate among teenagers for most routine shots is pretty consistent with U.S. averages, while the rate of vaccination for younger children is much lower. A bill that did make it past crossover day would create mandatory minimum sentences for those trafficking in fentanyl. GPB's Ellen Eldridge reports on the Fentanyl Eradication and Removal Act.
Senate Bill 79 could mean up to 35 years in prison and hundreds of thousands in fines for those possessing 28 grams of fentanyl. The law comes on the heels of Austin's law, passed last year by the legislature, that creates an involuntary manslaughter charge for anyone selling drugs that leads to a death. It was named after the 30-year-old son of Gus Walters. He died of a fentanyl overdose in 2021. Walters says, after Austin's law passed, advocates realized that for the law to work, someone has to die. So SB 79 is needed for punishment.
In other words, on the front side, somebody dies, and the reaction is now we can go after the person that sold the pill that killed that individual.
The bill now heads to the Georgia House. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Georgia's senior population, those people age 65 and up, is growing faster than most other age groups, according to the latest census data. For seniors with cognitive decline, the experience can be scary. So advocates and family members are pushing for a new state law giving more support from public safety providers. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Nancy Petra with the Georgia Alzheimer's Association says there are hundreds of families that can relate to watching a loved one be diagnosed with a degenerative disease. But early signs are not always easy to spot, until maybe one day when a loved one goes to run an errand, Petra says.
Maybe she gets in the car and she goes to the Walmart where she always goes.
Except this time that loved one forgets why they're there and gets confused or frightened.
And maybe if people are approaching her, she's getting agitated, and so someone calls the police.
Legislation that passed the state House Wednesday would create more training for Georgia police to identify and respond to people in these situations. The bill still needs to pass the Senate, but Petra says it's a good step towards prioritizing Georgia's aging residents. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
The month-long search for missing Atlanta teacher Gary Jones came to an end yesterday. Putnam County Sheriff Howard Sills says Jones' body was found in Lake Oconee, according to WMAZ in Macon. Jones was a teacher and track and field coach at the Westminster School in Atlanta. Jones and his fiancée, Jocelyn Wilson, disappeared on February 8th while boating. The body of Jocelyn Wilson was found a day later. This month marks 60 years since Bloody Sunday, when civil rights marchers were attacked by Alabama state troopers on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma. Civil rights leader and former ambassador Andrew Young says the march wasn't exactly supposed to happen that way. He spoke with GPB's Pamela Kirkland.
The march on Bloody Sunday was a mistake. It was the first Sunday in March, and we thought it was the second Sunday. 200 or 300 people showed up wanting to march from Selma to Montgomery. I called Dr. King and talked to him while he was in his pulpit. I said, we can't turn these people around.
Young says Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. told him not to get arrested. The violent attack on peaceful protesters shocked the nation and helped push Congress to pass the Voting Rights Act of 1965. You can hear more from Pamela's conversation with Andrew Young this Wednesday on Morning Edition, and later this week here on Georgia Today. Governor Brian Kemp's $37 billion fiscal year 2026 state budget has cleared a key hurdle. Budget writers in the state House today approved the spending plan, sending it to the full House for a vote expected later this week. The budget emphasizes needs in the state's troubled prison system. Blasted in a federal audit, state prisons are set to get $250 million in the FY26 budget, on top of $345 million adopted last week in the FY25 mid-year budget. Other big-ticket items are in public schools, with student support services, mental health counselors, and safety measures accounting for more than $100 million in new spending. A lunar eclipse will be visible across Georgia this week as the Earth's shadow falls over the moon, sometimes giving the moon a reddish tint. This lunar eclipse will be visible across the entire U.S. In Georgia, the eclipse will begin at 11:57 p.m. on Thursday and will reach its peak at 2:58 a.m. on Friday. Sky watchers should get a clear view, weather permitting. In Georgia sports, the Atlanta Hawks defeated the Indiana Pacers at home on Saturday, fending off a late-game rally by the visitors. The Hawks let a 17-point halftime lead slip, and the two teams were neck and neck with minutes to the final buzzer. Final score, 120-118 Hawks. In other basketball, Georgia is increasingly confident about the team's NCAA tournament outlook. The Bulldogs haven't been in the big dance in 10 years, but removed a lot of doubt about their prospects this year with a 79-68 win over Vanderbilt at home on Saturday. In soccer, four top English teams will play an Atlanta doubleheader as part of a summer series in three American cities. The English Premier League said yesterday Manchester United will face Everton and Bournemouth will face West Ham United at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on August 3rd. And in baseball, expect major upgrades this summer at the Battery, the shopping and dining district anchored by the home of the Atlanta Braves' Truist Park. The Battery last week announced a facelift ahead of the MLB All-Star Game in July, with new LED screens, more seating, and more restrooms and digital lockers among the planned improvements. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. This podcast updates daily Monday through Friday, but find the latest news any time of the day, 7 days a week at gpb.org/news. Hit subscribe on this podcast. It only takes a moment, and it'll help you to stay current with us in your feed. If you have feedback, send that to us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for tuning in.